Lo Rinchen the quoted the Zen Master Basu's statement. All living beings for infinite eons have never left absorption in the nature of things. They are always within absorption in the nature of things, wearing clothes, eating, conversing, the functions of the six sense organs, and all activities, all are the nature of things. Then the Dogen Zenji mentions comment on this statement. The nature of things spoken of by Basu is the nature of things spoken of by the nature of things. It learns from the same source as Basu. He is a fellow student of the nature of things. Since hearing of it takes place, how could there not be speaking of it? So Dogen Zenji stresses that he couldn't stop speaking of the Dharma nature, because already Basu mentions like this. So how could he not be speaking of Dharma nature? That is Dogen Zenji's resolute confidence. So next, the fact is that the nature of things rise bustle. It is people eat food. Food eats people. Ever since the nature of things, it has never left absorption in the nature of things. It doesn't leave the nature of things after the nature of things. It doesn't leave the nature of things before the nature of things. The nature of things, along with infinite eons, is absorption in the nature of things. The nature of things is called infinite eons. Therefore, the here of the immediate present is the nature of things. The nature of things is the here of the immediate present. Wearing clothes, eating food, is the wearing clothes and eating food of absorption in the nature of things. It is manifestation of the nature of things of food. It is the manifestation of the nature of things of eating. It is manifestation of the nature of things of clothing. It is manifestation of the nature of things of wearing. If one doesn't dress or eat, does not talk or answer, does not use the senses, does not act at all, it is not the nature of things. It is not entering the nature of things. Okay. So, now Dogen Zenji comment on this Basu's statement. All living beings from an infinite eon have never left absorption in the nature of things. We are all sentient beings, have been already enveloped by the nature of things, Dharma nature. So wherever you may go, wherever you may be, you are present in it. Concentrate. This is Basu Zen Master mentions. Then, Dogen Zenji comment on this point. He says, the fact is that the nature of things rise Basu. Just like a riding horse. You ride a horse. And that time, the truth that you are enveloped or encompassed by Dharma nature or truth means the fact that you rise horse. You rise the Dharma nature, the truth.
And also the truth that there are no discrimination between you and horse. You and horse become one. Otherwise, you cannot ride. If you want to ride, horse means you and horse must be one. So that is, he mentions like this. His comment, Dogen's comment, is union of the Dharma nature and all sentient beings is just exactly the person who rides a horse, or the truth. So that's why he says the nature of things rise bustle. So bustle is not the different things from the truth, Dharma nature. Dharma nature is not the different form, bustle, exactly. So, anyway, if you experience riding horse, I think you can know. You have to know the feeling of the horse. Otherwise, the horse doesn't follow your will. Okay? So, you have to be one with the horse, and horse must be one with you. Then it is called to ride horse. Okay. That's why next he says, it is people eat food. Food eats people. Well, this is a little difficult for you to understand. According to the fact that you bustle, rise the Dharma nature. The Dharma nature rise bustle. Same thing, same expressions. So you eat the food. Food eats the you. There's no discrimination between. But the point the Dogen Zenji constantly mentioned is a very fundamental discipline teaching of human action, human thought. Very fundamental, very basic. So you have to, a little difficult, but it is very important for us, particularly for from now on, in the future. It's very important. In this century, but the next century, probably, time will come. But now, I don't know, many Americans complain so much about sort of Zen and the Dogen Zen's teaching, etc. But that it doesn't matter. It's fine for me. But I think in the future, I think this teaching will be very important for us. Not only Japanese. This is a human being for human beings. But now, many people don't understand it. So going the intimations about the form, and ritual, etc. Well, people don't accept the ritual form in the true sense, always in the common sense. So that's why lots of argument. It's fine for me. But I think we should take more time and to learn what the formality, what the ritual is, what the basic foundation, essence, what is the essence of human action? We have, and what is the basic teaching of our thought. This is very important. Because I mentioned yesterday, and human beings always see the world in terms of subject. Always subject. I comes first. Even though right in the middle of action, you still look at you in the form of subject. And also analyzing what you are doing, what you feel, what you experience, what you touch, always you analyze. If you continue to do this, you never know what the real truth. You never know how to live in peace and harmony. No, because it is very common lifestyle. This is a very common cultural pattern fabricated by human beings for generation after generation. So it is not the spiritual life. So I think that maybe we should see the world from a different angle. Means you have to see world from predicate, not subject. Predicate. Predicate means including the verb and what to say, verb and the object and well, many words there. You have to see the word from the predicate, not instead of subject. So if you see the word from a predicate, I think the subject can be merged a little easier. In other words, frame of your five senses, physical five senses, will be melted away into the universe naturally. But if you see word from subject, the frame of your five senses cannot move an inch, within the frame of the five senses by themselves. So you can't move an inch. You are really tied up by your frame of the five senses. So that's why you'll never be free from smell of the five senses, your smell of the commerce, smell of the emptiness, smell of the Buddha nature, whatever you say, you'll never be free from. That is a very huge pattern we do always. So I think we should see human world from a predicate means a bigger world. In other words, you should see the world from a place where, would you say, simultaneity occurs. Simultaneity means the place of simultaneity is that which, would you say, subject and also whole world are simultaneous with others. The I am simultaneous with you. If I look at you in terms of me, I cannot be that simultaneous with you. Because I is pretty easy characterized by attachment to I. So, very separate. But if you see bigger scale, which means the place of simultaneity, which you and I are born right now, okay, together. Simultaneity. Simultaneity. Okay. You can listen to the lots of story of ancestors who attain enlightenment by the hearing the sound of the bamboo and rock bamboo by seeing the plum flowers and by the experience of hurting his fingers and toes and by the and the striking the against the the rock itself, the geisha, I think in the one black pearl is I think the geisha students experience 57. They use geisha one time in order to make a Sara study of Zen as taught all over the country. He took his knapsack and headed out of the mountain. But on the way, he stubbed his toe on a rock. And as it bled painfully, he suddenly had the powerful insight and said, "This body is not existent. Where does pain come from?" So he then went back to Seppo, and Seppo asked him such and such. You know. Anyway, he quit going out, and he returned to the Seppo's temple. Anyway, that means that he, by his experience, he attained enlightenment. That enlightenment occurs at the occurs in the place of samatthanity, where the Geshe and also whole world, his world, were born together, okay, through experience of pain, through the process of pain. Experience is very important, but how do you experience, how do you understand the experience? This is very important. I don't mean you should ignore the experience. Individual experience is important. But the most important point is how you comprehend, how deeply you comprehend the experience you have had. This is very important. Okay? So, because without experience, you never know anything. So through the experience, you can know the subject and object. Okay? Subject or object comes from your experience. Otherwise, how do you know? No way to know subject or object. And also, combination or unity of subject and object to affirm the unity of the subject and object, you can create a thought, something like that. Okay? So I think subject and object is important in order to know the subject and object. I think you should have experience. So experience is very important for us. But how deeply you understand it, this is a key point. Okay. So I think he experienced pain, and through the pain, he can realize his existence, and also rock's existence, and also Seppo's temple and the whole world anyway. But simultaneously, he mentions everything is emptiness from where pain comes. This is that implies that this Geshe Shubhi Zen master is really deeply understood, you know, his own experience. Okay. So in other words, first of all, you have to know the place of simultaneity, okay? You can't believe it, but it happens. You experience, you live there. The cultural pattern, the sense of value, a frame of human life pattern fabricated by human beings, which is called culture, are almost funny and cricket, through which we cannot know exactly. That's the place of simultaneity, which all sentient beings comes into existence together. Don't believe it, but it is really true. We live there. That is called Dharma nature, nature of things we say, or truth. Okay? So we can experience, we experience all this, but when you accept the experience, the understanding explanation of experience is already cricket. Because you understand your experience through the cultural pattern, your educations, your heredities, your karmas, your knowledge, etc. So it's very difficult to understand the profundity of your experience. So I think you should know the place of simultaneity, eternity, where all sentient beings come into existence together. So for this, when you sit Zazen, I think you shouldn't see Zazen from in terms of you. You shouldn't see you in terms of you. Anyway, all you can do is you should sit the Zazen in array in the universe, means in the in the world of the predicate. And you will put it there. And then if you take care of that Zazen which you have set in array in the universe in the predicate, I think you are naturally merged into, because you put it there. So naturally you do. I mentioned already rock climber. All he can do is he is to set his body and mind in array in the world of rock mountain and skies in the vast expanse of existence. There is no chance for him to see him and rock in terms of the subject. No way. If he has space to look at the rock, to look at himself in terms of subject, he immediately scared. He is very fear. He fear of climbing. So, because he always comes up first. But no chance to escape, so very naturally you have to see you in terms of rock, in terms of predicate. Rock, air, the mountains. And then you are drawn in by the rock. And then at that time, frame of your five skandhas will be melted away into the rock. Penetrate. It is really true. Okay? You can do it. Sports, whatever you do. If you read a book, really with concentration, full concentration, wholeheartedness, you never know who read. So you are looked. You are seen from the book, predicate. Not object, predicate. The biggest scale of the world. So you are exactly drawn in to the book and also all circumstances around. That's why even though you hear the sound, that sound doesn't bother you. Okay? So sound of the car, sound of the airplane, and the sound of the cricket, the singing bird, nothing interrupts you. Okay? So you are really concentrated on reading. But usually, according to the usual pattern of human life, we are always looking at the object in the world in terms of subject. That's why always, even though you right in the middle of wholehearted effort, still that usual pattern comes into it. That's really something interrupts you. Particularly spiritual life. If you practice Zazen, you can see very clearly. So, I think this is, we don't believe this flame of the five can never be melted away. We are already tied up by the flame of the five scandals. We cannot get out from that. We cannot be free from the flame of five scandals. That is our belief. But I don't think it is true. You can be free from flame of your five scandals. So, at that time, I think rock climbers should understand the place of simultaneity where rock and all circumstances and he comes into existence together. Right there, right now. How? That is practice. That is practice emotion. Process. So in the process of moving itself, anyway, is the place of simultaneity. Okay. Believe or not, there is exactly the truth that you are simultaneous with others in all circumstances. This is called undefiled practice. This is called pure nature of experience. Pure experience. Very pure. Before you analyze, before you understand it, before you experience something. Okay? This is very pure nature of experience. I mention always, wow, okay? Before you say, wow, anyway, there is pure nature of experience. How can we experience? We don't know. But you can do it. Otherwise, you cannot say, wow. As long as you say, you express wow, there must be a place of simultaneity, you can experience you and something nature's and coming up together. So this is the Dogen Zenji always mentions. So Dogen Zenji always resolute refusal of discrimination and distinction. Always you have to realize deeply your own experience. And you have to stand up in the non-dualistic world. Discrimination and dichotomization. But it doesn't mean that to refuse, taking care of the human phenomenal world. Okay, you have to take care of human world from where this is very important for us. Where you stand up basically. What is a basic stand, basic place where you have to stand? From where you can see top paradigm picture of existence, including you and the object or circumstances.
Okay. Most of the time, we don't do that.
We don't realize it. We are there. We are there already. But we don't. We don't explain that properly, and because always we explain, we evaluate, we judge, and our experience by the usual life pattern of our cultural life. That's why we never know. But basically, all sentient beings exist here. There we experience always. But when you accept it, already it's cricket. So that's why we have to always explain that basic and very essential nature of experience. So that's why we are building the constant dimensions, how the profound the Master Basso's statement is. Because he mentions all sentient beings are always going in the world of Dharma nature, means the truth. It means you are always writing the truth. So you never escape from it. That is basic nature of things. Okay, that's why he says people eat food. People eat food, food eat people. So for in terms of place of simultaneity, you can say, so you eat the food, and food eats you, because food and you comes into existence together, in peace and harmony. That is the word of the truth, or it is called the one truth is one. Okay? Ever since the nature of things, it has never left absorption in the nature of things. So you never left. You cannot left the absorption in the nature. You cannot leave the full function of the truth, so-called absorption of the Dhamma nature, the absorption in the nature of things. Okay? It doesn't leave the nature of things after the nature of things. It doesn't leave the nature of things before the nature of things. So wherever you may go, all the nature of the things. So that's why after or before, whatever you say. There is no segment. Okay? No segment, no partition. Wherever you may go, it is a truth. So that's why you never leave, you never get into, you never leave. So I mentioned very often the story of the monkey, which of course in one of the Chinese literature. But do you remember the monkey story? Monkey story. Monkeys. In that literature, monkeys was very jealous of the human beings, because the human beings always could do many things so wonderful, but the monkey couldn't do it. That's why he tried to get something wonderful more than the human being did. Okay, more than human beings doing. So he went to see the magician and practiced the magic. Okay. Finally, he got the certificate from a magician to fly in the air. So whatever he wants to do, he can do it. You know. One day he decided, I want to check the end of the universe. Where is the end of the universe? So one day he flew in the space, and at the super speed he flew, and finally, of the five huge poles, it happened to come up right in front of him, so he immediately put the brake and stop it, you know. Look at the five big poles. Then he believed that this is the end of the universe. So he decided that he should put the mark each bottom of the five poles, you know, in order to prove where he was, you know. So he put the mark the bottom of each pole. The immediately the five poles. Began to fall down over the monkeys, you know, monkeys completely under the five poles, and he couldn't move an inch. So he screamed, "Help! Help! Somebody help! Is there somebody to help me?" And then a voice came from the space, "Who you are?" Monkey said, I am Son Goku in Japanese, you know, I am monkeys. This super power monkey anyway. So why are you here? He says that the monkey says, I wanted to check the end of the universe. That's why I have been at the end of the universe. That's why I put the monk the bottom of each pole now. Do you believe it is the end of the world? He said, of course it is. And then immediately the voice says, look around once more again carefully. And the monk look around, and then immediately huge face in the clouds in the space, you know, come up and look down the monkeys, you know, who you are, you know. He said, I am Buddha. Then look at the once more again where you are. And then he unfold his hand. This is his end. He believes reached end of the world, but it is nothing but the praise of the end. But it's not end of the universe. And this is completely, monkey was very surprised. This is a Buddha's hands. the same apply to human life. It is not story, it is exactly human world. But we don't believe it, this one. That's why constantly there are the dimensions like this. So, ever since the nature of things, it has never left absorption in the nature of things. It doesn't leave the nature of things after nature of things. It doesn't leave the nature of things before the nature of things. The nature of things, along with infinite eons, is absorption in the nature of things. So, truth is present in the function of the truth. That's it. Where is the truth? Who knows truth? Truth knows truth. Buddha knows Buddha by himself. 65 instants. Who count 65 instants within one moment? Who counts? 65 instants count 65 instances by themselves. This is a oneness. This is a non-dualistic. But if you think of it from the subject, you already dualistically, you follow the dualistical thinking. So very naturally, who counts 65 instances? Who prove you are Buddha? Something like that. Who prove your enlightenment? Therefore, the here of the immediate present is the nature of things. So, but that truth is not far from us, it is not the abstract, it is not idealistical, it is not concept, it is not philosophy, it is exactly right now here. That's why, therefore, the here of the immediate present is nature of things. Nature of things is the here of the immediate present. So, he repeated same things in the reverse. That means he tried to tell you no gap between Dhamma nature and also immediate present. Okay. That's why he says, in the first sentence, the here of the immediate present is nature of things, Dhamma nature. Next, Dhamma nature is the here of the present, immediate present. There is no jump between. The name of the things is the here. Wearing clothes and eating food is wearing clothes, eating food of absorption in the nature of things. So who eating food? You eating food. This is a natural pattern. But actually, you are eating food is Dhamma nature eating the food. So, wearing the clothes, eating the food, is the wearing clothes, eating food of absorption in the nature of things. It is the manifestation of the nature of things of food. So, food temporarily appears as food. As a form of food, temporarily. We are all Buddha anyway. But a temporary, we have a different name. Teacher and student, Kalagi and you, Japanese and Americans, and temporary different names. But they are nothing but manifestation of the Dhamma nature truth of monastery in Shobo Genzo Ju Un Doshiki, the Vincent dimensions also simple dimensions. We have to live in peace and harmony like a water in the milk. Melted away into the milk in peace and harmony. Because we are all Buddha. But temporarily, we put the name on us. So-called teacher and students itself. But we are Buddha. We will be Buddha. Means we are Buddha, that's why we will be Buddha sooner or later. That's why we have to live in peace and harmony. We have to do something together in peace and harmony. This is our practice. So it is manifestation of the nature of things of food. It is the manifestation of nature of things of eating. It is manifestation of the nature of things of clothing. It is the manifestation of the nature of things of wearing. If one doesn't dress or eat, doesn't talk or answer, doesn't use the senses, does not act at all, it is not the nature of things. It is not entering the nature of things. Nature, the truth is not something you can enter or you can get out. You can't get out, you can't get into. You are already there. So if you don't talk, if you don't answer, if you don't act at all, it is not the Dhamma nature. It is not truth. So whatever you do, it is a manifestation of the truth. That's why that's why we do something with a form. Gassho, Zazen, etc. This is not formality or form. So we have, if you see it as a form or formality, the Zazen form of Gassho can be seen already in terms of subject according to usual pattern. Usual thinking pattern. But at that time, you never know what the real meaning of the form of Gassho, form of ritual, form of Zazen, and the form of repentance itself. So, I think we should deal with form in terms of the place of simultaneity. Okay? That is what? That is real practice in action. And processing in action, you have to do it. Exactly. That is called wholeheartedness, we say, or shikan, or full devotion, etc. We say it like that. But a more technical term is samadhi. Exactly samadhi. Oneness. So manifestation of the path of the immediate present was transmitted by the Buddhas. So this truth is not the personal things, particular personal things, but Buddhas, ancestors, all Buddhas, ancestors can experience this same things. That is transmission, we say. Dhamma transmissions. So that I'm going to mention here. The manifestation of the path of the immediate present was transmitted by the Buddha, reaching the Shakyamuni Buddha. By the Buddha means the seven Buddhas before Shakyamuni Buddha, and reaching the Shakyamuni Buddha. So Shakyamuni Buddha experienced the same things we have done, and also Mahakashapa, Bodhidharmas, and many ancestors experienced the same things as Shakyamuni Buddha did. So, the correctly conveyed by the Zen adepts, it reached Basel, Buddha to Buddha, adept to adept, correctly conveyed and handed on. It has been correctly communicated in absorption in the nature of things. This is something we have to transmit. Absorption in the nature of things. Dhamma nature samadhi. Truth. Buddhists and Zen adepts are they not entering in living the nature of things. Buddhists and Zen adepts don't have any particular things to be conveyed to their ancestors or disciples, students, etc. Always same things. What they have to transmit is this, the absorption in the nature of the things. And what the transmission means, to enliven. Enliven that dominate the absorption in the nature of things. It is not something secret teachings you have to convey. But to convey, to transmit Dharma means to enliven Dharma nature vividly. That is so called transmission. Though externalist scholar means always using the words and explaining philosophically, psychologically, always, and always sees events in the world of words. Okay, that is called the translation uses externalist scholars. So words are very important for them. So though externalist scholars may have the term nature of things, of course they have a term, so called delusions is nirvanas. Delusions are enlightenment. Okay? All sentient beings are the Buddhas. Okay? Something like that. But they never know. They never know full function of the truth itself. Which the subject and object and all environments and comes into existence simultaneously together. They don't know, but they have a word. So always we use a word. We are Buddha. Buddha is with us. We are in the Buddha. We are with the Buddha. We say so. And then if we say so, like this, and then we believe it. This is a real truth. But I don't think so. Because transmission of the teaching is to enliven the truth that you are Buddha. In our everyday life. That is transmission. If you do it, at that time you can transmit something important, something essential. Otherwise, you cannot convey, transmit anything through the words. Words are important, but not always. It is not the nature of things spoken of by Basel. That's why it's quite different. Quite different. Though the power to propose that living beings who don't believe the nature of things are not the nature of things may achieve something. This is three or four new layers of the nature of things. So you express many things, three or four, five, six, seven, according to your comments and complaints, doubts, and lots of things. But they are nothing but the three or four, five layers of Dharma natures. To speak, reply, and function and act as if it were not the nature of things must be the nature of things. The days and the months of infinite eons are the passes of the nature of things. Whatever you say, days, moment, and 65 instances, whatever you say, those are conceptual world. All the conceptual worlds, anyway, are melted away in the function of the truth, the samadhi, through Dharma nature. So, the days, months of the infinite eons, what is that? It isn't truth. The same is so of past, present, future. If you take the limit of body and mind as a limit of the body and the mind and think it is far from the nature of things, this thinking still is the nature of things. This is the truth. Yesterday, Tom asked me almost the same things. And not only the Tom, everyone think. The more you seriously practice Buddha way, the more deeply you feel this. This is the truth. If you don't, you are person imbued with your importance. Do you understand? If you don't feel, you are person imbued with your importance. Means I am great. If you take the limit of the body as the limit of the body and the mind and think it is far from the nature of things, this thinking still is the nature of things. If you don't consider the limit of the body and the mind as the limit of the body and the mind and think it is not the nature of the things, this thought too is the nature of things. You are lucky, huh? So whatever you think, even though you become a person imbued with your importance, is also a great being. So always going and here and there is in the realm of a dominage. Thinking and not thinking are both the nature of things. So you understand Zazen Buddhism, it is also in the world, the events which occurs in the dominature. Even though you don't understand, you understand all things. Anyway, nothing but events which occurs in the Dhamma nature. To learn that since we have said nature, water mustn't flow and trees mustn't bloom and wither is heretical. Okay? So in the realm of Dhamma nature, I think it is always beautiful world there. Okay? Drinking water, having a breakfast, sleeping in bed, gassho, zazen. Lots of blooming, beautiful flower there. And sometimes cloudy. The doubts and skepticisms and complaining, pain, suffering, many things there. Lots of cloudy, confusions. That is nothing but total manifestation of the truth, Dharma nature, Buddha nature. So if you don't believe this one, you are heretical. You are understanding your basic, your understanding of the basic, what the basic of your action, basic of the thought is heretical. Okay? So, we have to deal with, we have to take care of our life exactly like this. This is our practice. Okay? This is our practice. If you don't understand it, anyway, practically we can do it. Practically we can do it. But how can we teach you? That's why when you do, use a toilet, please do gassho, and be one with your toilet, regardless of your thinking pattern. Okay? Please do gassho and use it. This is a very concrete suggestion. Through what you can be, you can experience, you can stand up at the place of simultaneity. But you cannot know it. You cannot perceive. Because it is very pure nature. But you are there. So that's why right in the middle of that process itself, in action, there is the place of simultaneity can be found where you and toilet, all circumstances are in like coming into existence together. That's why you appreciate. You appreciate toilet, you appreciate your things. You appreciate your body. It's not your body, it's not machine. It's not machine, something coming out from your bodies. No. You can appreciate something coming out from your body is nothing but manifestation of the Dhamma nature. That's why we do gassho anyway. But we don't understand according to the usual thinking pattern because we obviously see the world and ourselves from our subject. Subject is very limited, very stubborn. Because from your birth already We put on the layers, thick layers and layers of the cultural patterns. Far from the real nature of your existence. Again and again, day by day, it's always far from there. In other words, you are there, so you are trying to cover your eyes. You're trying to cover, not try, all this cultural pattern, all this, you covered your eyes. That's why again and again we have to talk about this one. Let's come back to the natural, pure nature of experience. What is the real pure nature of experience? Because you, without experience, you cannot understand, you cannot see existence of subject and object in all environments. So you have to see very deeply into the experience of what you have had. And then you can see a really different world come up. It depends on your effort, how much, how intentionally you can try to know the depth of your experience. Do you have a question?
You said that we should put ourselves in the predicate instead of the subject of our experience. So, but actually with the whole sentence, but by putting ourselves in the predicate, it's going to help us realize that.
Mm-hmm. Predicate means it's a story of the, if I say predicate, immediately predicate that bring on the subject, you know.
Right.
So it's pretty hard. That's why I say spontaneity. Okay.
Also, I read a lot about the vihara as the center of our body and mind. And sometimes I feel this, and sometimes I feel like the heart is the center. Is there any use in concentrating on either your heart or your hara, rather than your head? Will that help in the same way as putting yourself in the predicate?
I think that if you concentrate on the hara or your heart, I think you can't concentrate on the hara and your heart without it. So you should concentrate on the hara and the heart with your whole body anyway. You can't discriminate. That is already, you mentioned already heart, in terms of your subject, your usual thinking patterns, heart, and hara is different from head. This is already discrimination, we always do it.
That's why it seems the same sort of thing as trying to put myself in the predicate, because I think, that's already breaking up in the subject.
Words and etc. Okay, using the sentence, I can say subject and predicate, but actually, that's why I mentioned simultaneity. That is a predicate can be found in the realm or in the sphere of action, the practice, process in action. Anyway, otherwise, you cannot know. So if you want to know your heart. Anyway, how you practically deal with the heart? Don't separate from the head and the heart, you know. Don't discriminate. So the important point is your head, your heart comes together where? Because you can't separate, don't you think so? If you concentrate, there is only head in the concentration. So you can discriminate. So how can you cause all sentient beings, your head, your heart, your stomach, comes together, working together? What? Where? Okay. This is a key point of our practice, action, human thought. Okay. Is that good? Is that all right? So when you want to concentrate on the heart, I think before you discriminate that this is an important place rather than the head, it's there, okay? You just concentrate on the stomach as manifestation of the truth. Buddhist precept is also not the usual sense of the morality, because this is nothing but the manifestation of the truth, Buddhist world. That's why precept is simultaneously Buddhist world. That is the right understanding of Buddhist precept. But usually, Buddhist precept is accepted in terms of You just think in patterns. Okay? You should follow this. Otherwise, you can reach the Buddha's word. That's not the usual way. But that is already. You are separate from the Buddha. Precept is completely a means to an end. Precept is completely separate from Dharma natures. But a precept, you're thinking, not thinking, you're done, all the Dharma nature. We already, Buddha's mentions 25 years ago, 2500 years ago. Already mentions, prove. What does it mean? So precept is not something special. So precept is exactly nothing but the total manifestation of Buddha nature or truth. And then if you are there, very naturally, or your frame of the body, five skandhas, frame of your consciousness are melted away, naturally. And then if you see that melted away in terms of human sense, it is called precept, because your desire melted away. So, that killed something negative coming up. In terms of human desire, it's negative. Is that okay? But it's not negative. It's a natural manifestation of Buddha nature. Because Buddha nature is totally functioning, totally pure experience, and the soul all melted away. For instance, here is koan. Monk asked, what is it when we encounter very pure mirror? Very pure mirror. Meaning the truth. Okay? Truth is, if you encounter truth, what is it? And then the master says, hundred million things broken in pieces. Means all things, flame of the body, the flame of your consciousness, see the mirror, pure mirror, so-called, the dominated, the same in the one gun, whatever you say, immediately all melted away into it. Means myriad, 100 million diamonds broken in pieces, melted away. Naturally. And then if you see that situation in terms of human consciousness, it is called negative. We put the name on it. Because we are enjoying hanging around the desires, something like that. So desires and hatred all are melted away. When they meet, encounter real pure mirrors, immediately melted away. Then if you see it in terms of human desire, oh, that's bad. Desire disappears, and so that is a negative. So if you accept a negative, that means don't miss desire, something like that. As a, teachings, less desires, something like that. But we tend to always, desire is endless, Inexhaustible. So, we vow to put an end to it. Something like that. That negative way coming up. That is a precept, naturally. So, complete different way we accept the precept, we see the world different way. But this is a little hard for us. But we have to, that's why we practice this kind of zazen and listening to us teaching again and again and penetrate your skin. Anyway, listening to the Buddhist teaching penetrates your skin and the muscle and the bone. Naturally, you can gradually understand it. That's why if you're not particularly breaking or break, also both are nothing but the function of the Dharma natures in total manifestations. So breaking precept is you are against the flow of that Dharma nature. You're trying to away from that. That is so-called breaking, say. Okay.
But isn't that Dharma nature too?
It is Dharma nature, yes. Dhamma nature is always with you. Okay? But you are consciously or unconsciously going away from that, from the Dhamma nature. Well, that is breaking the precepts. But because we don't know how to. Because there is a concrete aspect. Because Dhamma nature is always with you. How can you break? How can you break the Dhamma nature? So there is nothing. But you ask me, how can you break the Dhamma nature? That's why breaking the precepts. Breaking your life and confuse your life, that is breaking the Dhamma nature. Keeping going away from Dhamma nature. That's it. But going away Dhamma nature is also just like monkeys going away trying to find the end of the universe. Means you're suffering. Still you have to go through the suffering, you know. No end. Constantly you have to do it. So wherever you may go, so don't disappoint it. But don't plow of yourself. So all you have to do is just keep going. Because just keep going in the world of Dhamma nature.
I still don't understand that, because as long as somebody is acting, I thought that it was Dharma nature.
Acting? It's a Dharma nature?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Acting Dharma nature? Yes, it is. But I think Dharma nature, your acting is not exactly the fitting into, accommodating into a function of the Dharma nature. You try to tune into the dial and rhythm of Dharma nature. Radio of the universe dominates the radio stations. You know, you try to tune in, but I'm real close, real close. I got it, and next morning it's gone. Something like that, you know. But all this is waves coming from the, you know, dominated radio stations, all this. So all you have to do is just tune in. That's all we can do. Tune in means so you have to be. You have to, your action is, your action must be a thing. Deeply, anyway. Do you understand?
But is this Dharma nature the same thing as Taoists call the Tao?
No, they're different.
How is it different?
Concept of Tao is quite different, I think, from a Dharma nature in the Buddhism. I don't know. But quite different. But pretty close.
Also Dharma nature.
Huh?
Also Dharma nature.
Sure, Dharma nature.
Which is something, is confusion a part of Dharma nature?
Sure.
But doesn't confusion, it seems when you're confused and you lose the signal from the radio station.
Mm-hmm. Confusion?
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's also part of Dharma nature.
Dharma nature, yes. Mm-hmm. That's why you can make an effort to try to get to the radio station waves in the next moment. Don't you think so? That's why you can try again. Because even though you lost, you know, you cannot get it. It's not something far from the Dhamma nature side. That's why next moment you want to do. That is going through the suffering. Do you understand? Confusion. And then you try to get, next moment, you try to get the, you try to tune into the dial of the Dhamma nature station radio. But you miss it. But missing is also Dhamma nature. That's why missing will be good suggestions, what's going on.
Turn it off.
Yes, it is.
Is it also wasting time? Just turn it off. Is it possible to waste time?
It's wasting time. Wasting time. But a dominator, wasting time is also in the dominator. So you can, means you can always stay with wasting time. You are suffocated, you know, to death by wasting time. Do you understand? You can do it. Because it's Dharma nature. Do you understand that one? Dharma nature is always functioning. Functioning gives you lots of information, you know. Wake up, wake up, wake up like this. all this waves that hit your bodies, all this, through the millions and millions of pores, you know, from the Dhamma natures of radio stations, it's gone. You don't, sometimes we don't do it.
There's an expression in English that goes, you can run, but you can't hide.
Oh. You cannot hide, yeah. So that's why the Dhamma nature is always functioning, giving you the lots of information and waking you up always. That's why even though temporarily something happens, so temporarily, provisionally, something happens, so call, I don't want to bed, so wasting time. But a wasting time is temporary, appears as a certain form. But you cannot stay with it for long because of this Dhamma nature giving you lots of information and waking you up. So finally, even though you don't know what the Dhamma nature is, you are fed up with wasting time. So you want to do something. Is that clear? Well, the usual sense of human value and the explanation of human life and consciousness, and those are, generally speaking, I say cultural pattern, you know. And that's a really quite cricket, you know, pattern of thinking and evaluating and cricket frame of cultural life.
I think we cannot explain the Dharma nature itself, I think. What do you explain here about the Dharma nature? Character of
Dhamma
nature.
What?
What?
No, not
character.
Maybe character. You can say character or nature.
Out of consciousness.
Yes, out of the world. Word.
What can we explain about Dhamma
nature? Well, that's why you have to explain what you cannot explain. Through the words. This is important. This is our responsibility. Because in order to express your appreciation toward the Dhamma. Dharma is unknowable, we say. And then finally we say, never mind, forget it, you know, because it is unknowable, untouchable, we say. But I don't think it is true. That's why the Lingam dimension, if you don't talk, if you don't think, if you don't act, it's not Dharma nature. So you have to talk. So you have to talk Dharma, you have to talk Dharma nature, which is unknowable. That is pretty hard. But we have to do. So through the words, you can talk.
Oh, I understand our practices depend upon this domination. I understand, but when I must explain the thing,
sure. So when you explain, don't explain the idea of the domination. That principle of domination. Total function of the domination which appears in every aspect of human life. Now you have to talk.
Well, one more question. How do you think about language?
Uh-huh. Language?
Language.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think?
Well, language is pretty beautiful.
What's everyone
saying?
Language
is...
Basically speaking, Buddhism doesn't need language, you know? Do you think so?
No. Yes, we need the language.
I think so.
Mm.
Very difficult to use.
Well, sure, that's why we have to use anyway. It's difficult, that's why we have to use carefree language. And that's why you have to use the language, not atmosphere of language. You have to use the language, spirit of the language. Language possesses its own spirit, heart, something more than the language. Don't you think so? For instance, if I say same word you use and somebody use, please be quiet, something like that, okay? Same word. But if you use the same word, 10 people, quite different words coming up. So behind the word, there is a something which you don't know. So that is, I say, spirit of the word. So you have to use a word, and then you can explain the word, but behind the word, beyond the word, there is a something which you don't know, but you can feel it. That is a haiku. Haiku is pretty short and simple word. But behind the word, how huge word is there?
But haiku is beyond the meaning. The meaning what? Rather mean. Haiku is just runs, I think.
Runs? you can say it's just language, but haiku is language. Haiku is something represented by the language, but simultaneously represented something beyond the word. This is a haiku. Otherwise, it has nothing to do with human life.
Do you think the word or language has a substance, has a subject, substance?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Language has a substance. Do you think so?
Language is substance means language is the most important thing?
No. Existence. Real existence.
Yes or no? Yes or no? But the language has a two meaning. Yes or no? It's existential, but not existential. When word appears in the human world, it's not essential. But it's essential. Otherwise, you cannot know. You cannot know anything. Is that right?
You said that you have to explain that you cannot explain. You said because you have to defend for because you have to defend for something. I thought I heard you say you have to explain that you cannot explain.
Mm-hmm.
And because you do it, you separate your thing for the
teaching. Yes, that's true. Yes. The language, whatever you think language is essential or not, anyway, language is nothing but the Dharma nature. Being which exists in the Dharma nature. So I think that you have to use the Dharma language, you know, sometimes a means to communicate between the human beings, but sometimes you have to use the language beyond language in order to communicate between you and the universe. This is nothing but the expression of the appreciation for the Dharma nature, where we exist. Such an effort is important for us.